Hey, this is Jen with Light Seeking with Jen. Welcome to my podcast. Today I have a special guest on, my friend Susan. Hey, Sue.
Hey, Jen. Yay.
So Susan has a business. You should check it out. It is rainbowfoamies.com. And I'll let her tell you a little bit about it.
Awesome. Thanks, Jen. Yay, I'm so glad to be here with you today and looking forward to our little chat and discussion. Just to quickly note, my business is called Rainbow Foam Ease. That's EEZ.com. I'm the creator of a six-piece soft yoga prop set that was designed specifically for specialty yoga forms, right? So like we've got restorative yoga, restorative Pilates, yin yoga, prenatal yoga, accessible yoga. So they're soft medical grade quality props. So they are designed to be able to travel around, and you can wipe them down. There's no wash and cover. So there's a whole system and method, and you can also, if you're interested or want to do the training, there's an 8-hour restorative training using the Rainbow Foamies soft props, as it's available as a digital download. So that's cool. Anyway, but besides all that, I think the important part for me is, when you teach that much yoga and, I've been in the light working energy, Reiki healing industry, we'll call it, for, 20 plus years now. So and when you're doing that much yoga, so, I taught an enormous amount of yoga. And when you're doing that, your prana, right, your energy field, it's like on, it's like this big golden glowing buzz, like you are constantly operating from a place of energy. So it's something I've been studying and practicing and doing for many, many years. And so it's really part of my life's work and teaching as well, right? Like it's just,
And I get that because when you're anytime you're engaging with someone else, and I have this conversation with many, I call them spiritual babies. Like they're just awakening and they're confused and they're lost, and I'm guiding them, and they don't understand why being with certain people makes them feel a certain way. And this is the basics of the chi. This is the basics of the prana is you dip into other people's energy every single time you work with them or speak with them or talk with them.
Oh, absolutely.
And
And then we get so sensitive to it as light workers and energy, field energy experts, that not to we can just by looking at a picture, right? Just by sometimes someone's words, you can feel their energy. You can see and feel it. So it's fascinating.
It is. And kind of leading us right into what we were planning on discussing today, which was a little bit of boundaries, because you have to draw and define a boundary when you're a spiritual teacher. But really, any human, any person needs to have boundaries. But sometimes we dip maybe into the energy of situations or relationships around us or surrounding us. And what happens is we stop listening to what I like to call our own internal traffic light. And so you and I had this conversation the other day, which is what I thought would be a great idea for this podcast. We both agreed. And it is all about listening to the intuition first before following the heart, because the heart is just going to lead you or pull you to sometimes be kinder, softer, and the intuition is really guiding you in the correct way.
That's right. Oh my word, yes. I've been burned. I've been burned over it now. So
So we think that as light workers or spiritual people, we're supposed to be magnetically inclined to always give a yes or to make up happy sometimes.
That's
And
right. Yeah.
that is not always the case. That is not always the case. In this particular conversation that you and I had, we were discussing about understanding the intuition signal versus understanding where, you know, you want to be a nice, kind person and honor the act.
Yeah, no, acting from your heart. So what, what happens is the heart, we want to act from our heart first, which is a pretty, you know, loving, natural, instinctual thing to do. But we've already had the hit of intuition of what may, could go on, what will go on. And we drop that away. We let it slip away and act from our heart. Out of the goodness of our heart, out of kindness, out of love, because our heart chakras are so open, right? Especially energy field work, any energy workers, healers, yoga people, right? We're so open, that heart chakra. So we want to always act from our heart. But if we've had a very sincere, clear instinct, right? Hit of source instinct, right? That comes into us. And then we feel it in our gut, like we know.
Yeah.
So what happens is intuition comes in, right? Through crown and then hits your third eye. You get it, right? You know it, especially women.
Yeah.
You get it, you know it. And then you'll let it drop away. You'll act from your heart first and you get burned.
Yes.
Because you knew it. You knew it in the first place.
And I think the specific is what I want to talk about is when someone, I think there's two or three scenarios that I wanted to bring up specifically that I think that will be very resounding for everyone. And the first one is when somebody who you maybe walked away from or you circled away from comes back to your life. And I talk about this a lot during Mercury retrogrades. You know, people come back around. And the reason that this happens is because the universe wants us to end it on a different note than where we ended it. That does not mean that we're supposed to just say, okay, sorry, let's move on together. It means maybe you just needed to clear the air so that you could walk on peacefully. And a lot of times these people from the past, it didn't end well. And then they start cycle back to us. And we think, oh, it's an old friend. You hate to say no. And we get ourselves into a situation where we're like, my head was screaming no the whole time, but I said yes anyway. And it almost makes you wonder later when you make a decision to reconnect with these individuals, you say to yourself, what was I thinking? Because your head knew the whole time. And
you're
it's
like,
not
why would I do that? Like, why would I do that?
And it's not your head, it's your intuition. That is your
intuition. I know.
And so we discussed this in great length. And the other scenario that we talked about was when we really want something and it's not happening fast enough, we think we're supposed to settle for something else instead of waiting for the right signal from the universe. Mm-hmm. So knowing that your gut, your intuition is screaming, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And you're like, I wanted to avoid confrontation. I didn't want to let them down. That is the exact situation in which you should definitely follow your intuition.
I know. Definitely. Yeah. From now on, it's been some rough lessons, and I'll give you, I can relay a quick example. And one is, unfortunately was my ex-husband that I married. I knew when he came to pick me up in British Columbia, when I moved out west, I lived out in Western Canada for a year. And he decided to come get me, take me back. I got in the car with him. We had just crossed the border into the US. I'm in my car. He'd helped packed it up. And I started crying in the dark. He didn't know I was crying. And I had a feeling right then. Like it was an intuitional gut feeling. I shouldn't be marrying him. Don't go back. Stay in BC. You know, do your skating choreography out there. Do your yoga training. Stay. Nope. I kept going. kept going, cried. He didn't know I was crying in the dark. So I had it. I knew it. But no, I, you know what I listened to? My heart and my sexuality. I had a very strong attraction to him. And that connected to my heart.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you think that you were crying? I'm just reading this because you know how I am, but I feel like you were mourning the end of that.
There was a whole bunch of stuff. I could tell you.
You were mourning. No, like you were mourning the end of walking away from what you knew was something really important to you.
Yes. Well, that there a whole bunch. There was a few things in that. So what happened with him, and it was a really big sore spot for me in the entire marriage, which is so weird. Well, it's not now that we can back it up like this. It was back in the day when the car had a cassette tape, right?
Okay.
So I had, you know, when we used to make tapes.
Okay,
so I had a mixtape in, right? So I had a mixtape in, and it was one that I made, of course, not him, you know, because I'd been living on my own for a year, whatever, out west. And so I had it in my car, and Bryan Adams came on, a song by Bryan Adams. And I am a super open list, like, and of course, my career was music, choreography, dance, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, music was such an important part of my soul and spirit, like it just, you know, it's very, and still is, right? But that at that point, so he, in this moment of listening to my mixtape and Bryan Adams coming on, the ex says, the now ex says to me, "Oh, Bryan Adams, what a joke. He can't sing this crap." And like, it was just very harsh and negative and, you know, laughing, it condescending. And honestly, it crushed my soul and spirit, like in that moment.
Yeah. And you knew. So that was like, it was a two layer of knowing. You knew internally you shouldn't have, but then you also knew that was like the universe almost sending you a sign, like, you know, he hates what you love.
Yes. Oh my God. So listen, just to, I'll go really quick to wrap it up. So 20 years later, I'm married to him. I had to suppress different music and artists, musicians in my life, because if I put it on, and same with TV shows, to be honest with you, because if I put it on, he would, you know,
be triggered,
psychologically abuse about it. Like if you, whatever you want to call it, be nasty, be angry, ew, you're watching that. So I would, like, I suppressed myself for 20 years of music that I like. So we often only were allowed to listen to the Rolling Stones. Now, luckily I have a very, you know, I'm high tolerance for all kinds of music. So it's not like I hated the Rolling Stones, because I did love them as well. Like I saw them in concert many times, but what happened was he overdid it. Like it was overdone. Yeah. And I was only allowed to listen to his genre of music, classic rock. If I put pop on, oh my God, like I wasn't allowed to listen to pop. I wasn't allowed to watch like the Grammys.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And I love the Grammys. Like I know, like it, that's important to me. It is music, art, movies, like, those are my things. And he, like, I, like, oh, so anyway, just to cut it short again, it's been 2 years now since we are been separated, and unfortunately we're still not officially divorced, but maybe soon, you know, COVID hit and the courts all shut down. Anyway, so I have not listened to the Rolling Stones or classic rock for that matter for 2 years.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. You know what's funny about this whole thing is, like, I never thought we would talk about mixtapes, but let's talk about that for a second. My husband and I just had this conversation. So I met my husband. I met my husband in 1993 when my family moved to the East Coast. And we both had mixtapes in our cars, and we would be like, "Oh, listen to this, listen to that." Like, "Oh, did you hear this? Have you ever heard that?" We both listened to two totally different kinds of music. I listened to everything, but he was kind of very narrowed onto like classic rock and like hip hop and rap at that time.
Oh, at least he was into hip hop and rap.
Yeah, and so I feel like at some level we both kind of like, I mean, he had an awareness of different music, but he just never really dipped into it. So I feel like we both at some point like opened each other up to like all this different stuff. And then here I am, born and raised in Detroit. My parents are like completely Motown.
Cool.
My mom was engulfed in, I grew up listening to solid Motown, the Beatles, and the Doors.
Awesome.
And we had, my family had the old
Eight.
console stereo with the
Eight track,
you
the
know, you
eight
flipped,
track.
yes,
Me
but our
too.
stereo
Oh,
with
we had the eight
the,
track.
you flipped the lid up, it looked like a buffet, a credenza, and you flipped the lid up and all the albums were in there. And that's what we listened to, eight tracks
Oh,
and stereo.
yes. Oh my God,
And
yeah. Cool.
so when him and I got together and we would start, sharing each other's mixtapes and whatever, I would work. I worked one job in the morning, went to college all day, and then I worked a night job. So we would like meet up in a parking lot and say hi to each other like before we went to work or school. And then I'd be like, here, listen to this. I made this mixtape last night. Listen to this. And we would like swap a mixtape. It's just the funniest thing.
But he was
But
open to it.
oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But here's thing about the mixtape that I wanted to bring up, and I mean this is a whole different conversation, but I think it's totally relevant. Imagine now having the time to literally wait on the radio to play the song you wanted to hear to record the mixtape.
I just can't believe we did that. Like you had to sit there physically and wait and wait and wait. And then you'd have to press the record button and the play button at the same time. And sometimes you'd screw it up. And then you'd be like,
Yeah.
oh man, I gotta wait for them to play it again.
Yep. And the funny part of it is like we were I would write endlessly then. I would journal, I would write endlessly at that time in my life when that was a big thing for me to do. And it seemed to me, and I think you and I are very similar in age, so I think you can relate to this. But isn't it interesting how when the world sped up in technology, so did we, and we lost the slowness of like, nope, my mission today is just to wait for the song to come on so I can record it.
I know, right?
Think about that. Think about
Oh,
that.
that was
And
so fun.
music,
And then we'd have to
I
try to cut out the commercials.
Yes.
Oh, so
But
funny.
isn't that interesting? Like, it is interesting to me about where we are in society as a whole, collectively. We live these fast lives that sometimes disable us to actually slow down and maybe record the song or listen to the actual song or just stop. Like, we're on this ever, it's like we're on an escalator that never stops.
Oh, it's a lot.
And I think like
It's not.
recognizing the, yes, and I think recognizing the pause when we need it is so important to everyone, because if we honored that, if we honored the pause, if we honored the stillness, we wouldn't lose sight of knowing what is for us and what isn't.
That's
We
right.
it would intuitively be, oh, I can't do that person, or I can't. Nope, that's not for me. I'm not being a part of it.
For sure.
It would be an easy decision.
I
I'm just
mean, that
saying.
could just wrap that right back to like, your daily practice. Meditate, slow down, breathe, be conscious, be present. Right, because if you're not, then you will not hear your intuition. You won't even get the hit because you're
No.
not even listening. So this is how most people do walk around. I do believe it has progressed. People have evolved a lot more over the last year, honestly, to 2 years, where meditation is so like it's normal now. Like you can actually say, "Oh yeah, I'm meditating," and everyone's like, "Oh yeah," right? Like that was not normal a few years ago.
No.
Seriously. So at
But
least
it's
it's
amazing.
evolving. And the thing is, again, if you're not taking the time to still be a little bit slower, heal, just be in the moment, then you will not get any of the intuition that source, God, universe, higher power, whatever you want to call it. You won't get the hits. You won't get the messages.
Nope. And that's what I think is most important, to be able to tune in, to be able to tap in. You have to allow the stillness so that you can understand when it's right for you to tap in and when it isn't. And it might sound strange, like to so many people that I speak to, they're always like, I can't meditate. I just can't quiet my mind. Well, you have to train yourself. Just
That's right. It's a practice.
just stop eating maybe the wrong food or diet or working out. You train yourself to be still. And I had a conversation with my husband the other day, and we're like coming on up upping coming up to the time we're leaving on vacation. We're down to less than 14 days, and he's getting anxious about work and like leaving work, who's in charge in his position and whatnot. And he said, I just got to keep going. I got to keep this going. I got to keep everything. And he was kind of like frantic. And I said, okay, in that momentum, the only thing you're going to keep going is a whirlwind of anxiety.
Oh, yes.
And you
And
have to stop.
panic. Like he's going to be elevated in his heart
Yes.
rate, and it's not
And
going to be as healthy. Like it's not going to be safe.
so I said to him, I said, you have to stop so that you can give yourself a day and just like be prepared mentally, emotionally, energetically for what you know you have to get done. And he was really, really, he's like, I'll take 4 hours. I don't have a whole day. And so the
Right.
other day, he stayed home. And at lunchtime, I figured, oh, he'll be packing up to leave. And he came upstairs and he said, I'm not, and he goes, you're so right. I feel so much better. I got so much done just stopping.
Oh, good. Oh, my
Once
God,
I
good.
organize my thoughts, and that's what we need to do. We have to organize what we're working on, and not just like, oh, I'm going to start a business. Okay, what is the business going to be? What are you going to do? Who are you doing it with? How much money do you need? Do you have enough to get you through? Is it going to sustain you? Is it for profit? Is it not? I mean, the idea of starting a business, okay, that's great, but what are your steps? And that goes with anything you're trying to manifest.
That's right. Everything, any area of your life.
Yeah. And so when you take the time to nurture the thought, you find the stillness, you find the pause, and it only clarifies with usually some resolute answer of where you should process. Like, okay, this is my next step. Now I know. But when you get carried away in that whirlwind of energy, and sometimes when I'll circle back to this real quick, when I said sometimes somebody from the past comes back, a lot of times you say and agree to things with these people that return because it's like the anxiety of, oh God, I got to deal with them. And this happened the last time we talked, it didn't go well. And instead of really kind of just embracing it, like, okay, I got to remember who I am.
That's right.
Because not remembering who I am or who I was or who I am, not remembering that is what got me with a problem with them to begin with.
That's right. Oh my God,
Right?
that is, I mean, I'm just so right. And that goes, that silly example, the lady, right? The lady, my example, right? Of how
Yes.
I knew. And then, I let her back in. She walked away from me because she got mad at me. It was always been her problem, right? Always. I let her back in. I'm kind. And I did this out of the goodness of my heart. See, I didn't listen to my instinct here. And my gut instinct and my intuition. Remember, I truly feel intuition and instinct work together, right?
Yeah.
So your gut instinct sits in your solar plexus, and the intuition's up in the crown and then drops down into the third eye. So they work together. And I knew full on with my instinct and intuition that I didn't really want her to work for me. I shouldn't hire her. There was a bit of a trust thing. There was some things.
Yes.
And instead, goodness in my heart, because I was being kind. This woman hasn't worked in 25 years. I thought, oh, she really wants to work for me. She's making the extra effort. She's being so kind. I better be kind back. Hire her, right? And ever since, well, all she did was cause extra work for me. And I knew it, like extra work. And I was just like, I don't, is everything she's doing is wrong. Like, I have to correct her. And I barely gave her any tasks to do. Like, it was minimal stuff. And I was just right from the beginning aggravated. And then look what's happened, right? She turned it around.
Yeah. And right from the beginning.
Right? Yeah.
And right from the beginning, you knew that you shouldn't have. And
that's
then
right.
every signal that the universe gave you in response was affirming that you shouldn't have.
I know. Right?
Yeah.
Oh,
and I've
honestly
got the same thing. You're not alone.
I'm so mad at myself. But you know what? It's really clear now. So now I'm getting stronger. So oddly enough, you know, the mistakes that we make, they do make us stronger. And so next time, now I'm very strong. I feel very powerful in this, in saying that, okay, from now on, that's it. Like, I am listening to my intuition and instinct first, no matter what. Like, I'm there now.
Yes. And I think that that's the most important point, is like, for people out there who feel like my husband did, because it's very common to get caught up in the whirlwind of life, of work, of kids, of everything. When you have that overwhelm, the best thing you can do is stop. The best thing you can do is stop and pause. And if you continue to just keep getting on that hamster wheel, you'll just be led into further confusion, and it'll take you into these decisions where it lacks your intuitive touch. Mm-hmm. And when you get outside of that, when you're not dialing into your intuition, when you're not dialing into your instinct, that's when you have a problem.
Yeah. And it shows up every time.
Yes,
it's consistent.
Sure.
It's consistent. So why don't we, you know, go with it, like, go with, you know, listen up, act from that, like, you know.
Yeah. Okay. I want to end this. I thought this was a really good chat, but I want to end this on a really, funny note. So let's go back to the mixtape. So we all had one that we took everywhere we went, house, car, whatever. So I want to know, like, give me a couple songs that were on there that you listen to all the time.
Oh, okay. Well, oh my God. We even like grade nine. So what year are you born, Jen?
73.
I'm in 72, so you're a year younger. So we're in the same generation. So I, grade nine, so I'm like 15. We're not driving cars yet.
Yeah.
And we're literally walking around with the, the boom box, whatever it was called, the tape.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, and that one, like that mixtape, there was a group of us girls, and we thought we were so cool. We're walking around with it, blasting it, and it had like White Snake on it, like Pour Some Sugar on Me Now. Like total heavy hair metal music. Not that we were just into that, but and then like we could range. Like then we'd like, you know, pick the girly stuff, and it would go to like Chicago. You're My Inspiration. Remember
oh
that
gosh,
one?
Yes, that's so funny.
But that's back. Like what year? That's like back in 1985.
Yeah.
86.
So 86. Yeah, and it's funny because so think about it. You know, I'm. My husband graduated in 86. He's 5 years older than me. So we have this, we actually have a culture war between us a little bit, because he exposed me to some classic rock that like was too old for my, you know, it was too new for my parents, but not like, you know, anything I would have listened to. And, you know, he kind of exposed me to that. But on my mixtape, I was completely engulfed in the hair bands. So it was all about Bon Jovi, Def Leppard, White Snake, Motley Crue, Poison. It would have been
Poison. Oh my God, we love Brett Michaels.
I can't think of the name of the band at the moment, but it was a lot of electronic electro dance, like, you know, the electro pop dance music.
Yeah.
So I just think that's hilarious. But my mixtape usually kicked off with like Bon Jovi. It was usually the main one. It was normally kicked off with a lot of Bon Jovi. And then
I love John Bonham.
And Prince was a huge
important love Prince too.
Figure in my life. So my husband liked Prince, but never really got Prince until he got with me, and then opened him up to that. But my mixtape, Bon Jovi, Prince, pretty funny.
Hair bands. I wasn't allowed to listen to Prince.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Can you
Yeah, it's weird.
believe I still, anyway, we gotta just, I think your listeners will find that amusing.
They will find it amusing. So, well, I want to thank you so much for hanging out with me today and having this chat. I thought it was a lot of fun. Yeah,
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Yay,
and
namaste.
let's definitely plan on doing it again.
All right, awesome. Cheers.
Okay, peace out.
Yeah, you too. Peace out. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye.
I want to thank everyone for listening to my chat with Sue Graham of the Rainbow Foamies website. And I want to thank you all for following me and hanging out with us today with Light Seeking with Jen. You can find me on Facebook in my group, the Light Seekers Tribe. You can also find me at my email, crystalclearwithjen@gmail.com. Thanks for hanging out today and peace, love, and light.